Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Big Move podcast. I'm your host, Em, from The Lipstick Fever. And today I am back in rainy London with a very special guest. She is actually a clinical hypnotherapist. It's the first time we've ever had a hypnotherapist on the podcast. So I'm very excited and also want to caveat that we will be doing a short guided meditation at the end. So stay tuned into the episode, and we will get to that a little bit later. But I'm excited to introduce you guys to Fiona Lam. At just 34, she's a critically acclaimed advanced clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, and a trainer based at the Hale Clinic in Harley Street. Fiona helps people facilitate fundamental shifts on an unconscious level to bring about long-lasting changes. She specializes in anxiety, addictions, emotional eating, and insomnia, using a variety of techniques and proven methods, having worked with thousands of clients, both based in London and around the globe. Fiona, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here on this very like dreary, cold and like rainy London day.
I think we've officially had our summer.
I think so too. And I'm a bit sad about this. I'm not like quite ready for fall.
I know. It's August and it's pouring down with rain.
It's unfortunate, but yes. thanks for coming by.
At I'm least excited we've made ourselves cozy.
Yes, exactly. We're like curled up on the couch right now with blankets. So excited to chat with you today. We'll kick it off with a few icebreaker questions.
Yes, yeah, cool.
So what's your favorite destination for like a proper holiday, like proper vacation?
Well, I was thinking about this question and it depends really. I love the Maldives. You ever been to the Maldives?
So I haven't. I want to go so bad. It's on my bucket
list. It's amazing. The sand, the beach, it's so quiet. I think that would be my ideal holiday, not an activity-based holiday. When I don't like itinerary or anything like that.
Sure.
But I've also been to Bali, which yes. I love, and I feel like it's my spiritual home.
Oh my gosh. Also sounds like a dream.
So I think it was a good time when I went, well, quite a bad time. So my dad had died and it was the first Christmas that I had away from without him. So I was like, I want to go somewhere on my own. And I went to Bali and it was just amazing. The yoga there, all the Reiki, everyone's in a healer. And yeah, it's just amazing. I really loved it.
Such a dream. Okay, great. A second icebreaker question. What is your favorite London coffee shop?
Well, I don't actually drink coffee.
Ooh, fair enough.
I'm a bit sensitive to caffeine.
Okay,
it makes
cool.
me a little bit hyper. But there's a little place near my office called Glow Bar.
Which
yes. do lovely turmeric lattes, beetroot lattes.
We are a fan of Glow Bar. We had Sasha on our podcast, actually.
Oh,
a few
you?
Episodes back. Yes, yes. She's amazing.
Yeah, I love it in there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Okay, amazing. So we'll kind of just like kick it off and get into your background, where you're from. So you are London born and bred, correct?
No.
You're not. No. Where are you from?
I grew up between the Lake District and North Wales.
Okay.
And I originally was born in North Yorkshire, so I moved around a bit as a kid. And I used to have a Yorkshire accent, so I don't really know what's happened to that.
I know your accent is a bit unique to me, but
really?
in a really great way. Yeah, I don't know yeah. exactly what it is.
It depends, really. I went to uni in Liverpool, so sometimes it can be a bit northwest, and I have lots of clients in London.
So what was life growing up? You said it was like a Lake District?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a country girl at heart. In the countryside, which was lovely.
Amazing. So when did you move to London?
So I initially moved to London when I first finished uni, and I got a corporate job in a bank, the Bank of New York.
Okay.
It was on the stock exchange, and I burnt myself out, and I decided I don't want to do the London thing. It's too intense. I'm a country girl. So I moved back home for a little while, decided that I was going to go and do teaching. and be a teacher, primary school teacher. And then in that summer, my friend invited me back to London. This was 10 years ago, maybe, probably even more now. And then I decided to defer, stay in London and defer my teacher training. Then I kept deferring my teacher training and just decided to stay in London because I loved it.
Okay, and this was post-university.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't believe you're in corporate banking. I would never have guessed that.
I know, it wasn't me at all. I think it's just what you think that's the path you think you should take when you leave uni. And I did a business degree in HR, so I thought I wanted to go that way, but it wasn't me.
Fair enough. And so where do you live in London currently?
I live in Fulham.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Which is nice because it's a bit further out and you can come into London if you need to.
Right, you kind of get like best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds. Yeah.
What do you love most about London life?
I like the people. I like the energy. Like, there was a time that I moved out of London for a little while, and I missed the people. I don't know. There's a vibe. Like, there's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain. But yeah. I feed off people's energy in London.
Totally. And it's such a melting pot. I mean, there's people from all over the globe here, which makes it just that much more rich. And
yeah, and I love the fact, I love Kundalini yoga. Have you ever done Kundalini
yoga? No, what kind of yoga is that?
Oh, so it's all about energy. It's a little bit hippie, but it's like chanting, and it's not like a normal yoga class. I fell into it by accident, but I absolutely love it. And you know, there's not in London's like really good for it, and also places that you can get like acai bowls and things like that. I think we're really spoiled in London. You take it for granted, and then when you leave, you're like, oh, well, you can't get these things anywhere.
Which studio do you like to go for that kind of yoga?
Tri-Yoga I go to.
Ooh, yes, it's in Soho, right?
There's a few.
Okay.
Chelsea one.
Okay, amazing. Mm. And so you and I were chatting just before this, and I didn't know this about you. You have lived in New York City.
I did live in New York for a little while.
Okay.
3 or 4 months. And I found it quite intense. I loved it and loved the people. But for me, it was a bit too, I'm a bit sensitive to busyness.
Yeah, absolutely. What were you doing while you were there? Were you working or not working? Or
I was just having a little break. I was doing a little break. I was doing bits of, when I was doing bits of modeling, I was doing bits out there. I was doing a bit of, having a bit of a break, doing a few different bits of few things.
Sure. And is there any other cities in the world that you envision yourself living?
No, I don't think so. Because London's definitely my home. I've never been to LA, and everyone tells me that I would love LA.
Yes, you would. I mean, the health and wellness out there is, I feel like it's like 10x.
Yeah. And they have more sunshine. So yes. The ideal place would be London with more sunshine.
Yes, absolutely. If we could just like merge the two.
Merge the two.
And the time zones.
I think I need to go to LA, but I can't really see myself living anywhere else because I think London is my home.
Fair enough. So kind of getting into your career background, I know you just mentioned that you did a little bit of commercial modeling. So what exactly type of work was that and that time period kind of like for you?
So that was strange, actually, because I'm not the typical model, really tall, quirky looking. And I didn't realize there was my friend was doing it, just girl next door, smiley stuff. And she was like, oh, you should try like doing this for a little bit of extra money. And I just never really thought that would be a full-time thing. But it was literally girl next door, smiley, lots of hair. My first shoot was with Kid Rock for Q magazine.
Oh my god, stop. In throwback.
Not very wholesome. But that was like being thrown in at the deep end. But I used to shoot for Speedo. Have you heard of Speedo?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think I'm still on their website.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I did Debenhams. But it was in the days that it was just a job. This was about like, you know, when I was younger, and it was when it before Instagram, and you knew what other people were doing, and you'd go to work and you'd do a job. It wasn't about what brands you were working. You were just building up a portfolio, and it was just a job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think things have changed a little bit now. And I think it. And I noticed it started to become a little bit more about Instagram and your selfies and building your profile, which I just wasn't really feel comfortable with. And
right.
I think that's what made me want to move away from it.
Right. Fair enough. I know. I feel like the modeling world has changed so much now because everyone has this platform. So I actually did. Yes, I can relate to your experience in a sense of I did it for a very short period of time after college in when I was in Boston, little bit of commercial, a little bit of like in-person events and that kind of thing. And I just found it wasn't really fulfilling enough for me. Like I needed a bit more substance around what I was doing. And what's great about blogging and the influencer world is you kind of get a bit of both. So you're creating content, but you're providing value for people. You're providing your point of view, but you are a model. You're a model for these brands and you're wearing their clothes and their products. And so I think it's a huge aspect of our job.
Yeah.
So transitioning kind of into your background in hypnotherapy, when and why did you make that transition? Did you have like a self-discovery? Like, what was that like?
Well, this is what I was going to say. I might remember. So when you said that you can't be creative, I got to a point where I used to get told off on shoots because you learn so much about photography. And I'd be like, well, we could do it like this, we could do it like that. And you have to not say anything. And you have to just go there and smile. And you can't get involved. And it upsets the client if you get involved. And I felt creatively a little bit stifled. My favorite part of it was doing the photo shoots, planning the photo shoots, styling them for my own portfolio.
Right.
And yeah, that's what I was going to say.
No, I completely get that. It's like having that creative direction, I think, makes our job... that's the fun in it.
And that's
so when that's taken away.
Yeah, and that's what I love now about what I'm doing in my creative outlet. I do use Instagram as a creative outlet because it's such a creative space to use.
Yeah, absolutely. I know your Instagram looks great. We'll link out to it in the show notes. Okay, so going back to that question of like when and why did you make the transition into hypnotherapy?
Yes, so I was busy. I was traveling around a lot, staying in hotels, and I was feeling a bit unsettled, and I'd always listened to these guided hypnotherapy, hypnosis meditations to help me sleep. And I had this light bulb moment when I was in a hotel one night, and they'd helped my mum so much with her confidence as well. I'd bought her these CDs to listen to. I don't think anyone listens to CDs these days, do they?
Perhaps the older crowd might.
Yeah. So I bought my mum this CD and she listened to it. It was for her confidence, and the change in her was amazing because she suffered with mental health issues. And I was like, these really work. These really help people, and it's helped me so much. And I'd been to see hypnotherapists in the past, and it helped me so much with my anxiety and helping me feel calm and more in control of my thoughts, less worrying. And so I decided I want to become a hypnotherapist. And I don't know why, what happened. And I remember a few people laughed at me. It was about 5 or 6 years ago when people didn't talk about mental health. They were like, why? You're busy working. Why do you want to take a step back and do something like a therapist? Because I'm not typically 5 years ago what you thought a therapist would look like.
Sure.
But I just decided there and then that this is what I'm going to do.
Okay, amazing. So you were in like your late 20s when you kind of had this revelation. Mm-hmm. And then when did you ultimately decide to go out and start your own business? So you have your own clinic on Harley Street, mm-hmm. which is like arguably one of the most, you know, like prestigious mm-hmm. streets in all of London. When did you kind of decide to do that?
So I initially trained because I wanted to make the downloads for people. I was like, I want to make more of these. I want to make them more accessible for people. And when I started doing the course, I was just blown away by the techniques that you can use that nobody had ever used on me. Regression to cause, really analytical techniques that a lot of hypnotherapists don't use for some reason. And I remember when I hypnotized the first lady that I ever worked with, I got this major buzz and I was like, I love this. And she came in the next day, I think it had been for binge eating, and she came in the next day just telling me how much better that she felt and calmer around food. I was like, this is amazing, I love this, I want to keep doing it. And not many people do hypnotherapy as a full time, but I just decided, right, I'm going to do it.
Absolutely. And it's that it was so rewarding. It sounds like you're getting so feedback immediately from people.
And it was so nice when you've worked in a job where you've had all your attentions on you, to put your attention on other people and to help other people and to feel fulfilled. I just decided that this, I'm not leaving behind anything. I'm just, this is what I really want to do.
Right. Totally. It's kind of like your path and you felt that.
It just felt right.
Totally. So in your sort of entrepreneurial experience thus far, do you have any tips for like releasing fear and just kind of like going for it in what you want to do?
Well, it's fear that holds us back. And I think working for myself, I've had to really learn to have a good relationship with money. Working freelance, you have to feel safe with money. You not have to that feeling of lack. You have to release that feeling of lack. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in what you're doing. And when you come from a place of feeling safe rather than being motivated by fear, things just naturally fall into place and you attract the right people into your life to help you. You attract the right clients. When you're in that flow state and you're not coming from any insecurities and places of fear. So going through the course, I had a ton of stuff to work through, and I think this is why I can relate to clients so well. It's because I've been through it all. I used to blush terribly. I didn't used to be able to say boo to a goose without going bright red. And you know, I had really low confidence. I used to be very self-critical, and I think it's, I know, relationship with money. I probably didn't have a healthy relationship with money. I've had so much that I've had to work through. And we're going to talk about the app, my app that I'm doing later, but yeah. There's an app for every category that have a section with meditations for every category of how you want to feel, because meditations have helped me and hypnotherapy has helped me in every area of your life.
Absolutely.
So I'd say believe in yourself. I went a bit off. Believe and work, just keep working on yourself. And I think if you're not getting to where you want to be, there's a block.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I loved what you said. It's like meditation is a way, and then right, like seeking out additional resources to help like release that fear, it sounds like. And yeah. Through your, whether it's your services or, you know, a counselor or a therapist, yeah. Or whatever it might be.
And it's like it's also what I've realized as well is I really don't like looking at competition. Maybe this is my block, but I don't compare myself to anyone else. I never have. And I know there are other hypnotherapists out there, and I try and just not look at what they're doing.
Yeah, sure.
So I think that and even though you think, oh, the market's already saturated, or there's already so many people doing what I want to do, I think it's if you believe in yourself enough and you follow your passion and you don't have any fear and you believe in yourself, and you have a good relationship with money, I would just really encourage people to follow what they feels right.
Definitely. That's such a huge theme right now, especially on social media with like comparisons and just thinking that it's too saturated. But right, as you said, like as long as you believe in yourself, you have a unique point of view, you have something to bring to the table, just like hone in on what that is.
Yeah. And everybody's different and everyone will do things differently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true.
And you attract your clients. You'll attract different clients.
Right.
And then if you compare yourself to other people, then you're coming from a place of lack. But you have to come from a place of abundance if there's always enough.
Yeah, totally. So talking about hypnotherapy in a bit more detail, I know I am brand new to this topic. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, what is hypnotherapy and what are some of like the misconceptions that come along with this topic?
So I think people, especially, I had a lot to overcome when I first started, because people had more of the idea that you click your fingers and you run around clucking like a chicken. But as health and wellness has grown and people are more interested and open to solutions for mental health issues, I'm hoping misconceptions are changing. But it's very similar to a guided meditation. It's not because it's your unconscious mind, it doesn't mean that we go into an unconscious state. It means we go into a theta state. Americans call it theta.
Okay.
A theta state, which is just very similar to meditation, which is just above sleep. So it's between sleep and daydreaming.
Okay. That is so helpful, actually.
Yeah.
just to like understand that it's that state. Because I think sometimes with hypnotherapy, people think, right, you're like knocked out.
No, yeah, you're not at all. Some people fall asleep sometimes, but that's quite rare.
Sure.
But you're still aware, and people's main worry is that they lose control. But you actually gain control.
Yeah.
If you have a thought pattern or a habit that you don't want anymore, that part of your mind's controlling you. So to be able to go into a theta state and make changes, you're actually gaining control.
Sure. And so primarily, who are your patients? Is there a certain like demographic? Are they from certain areas?
I treat lots of different type of people, really. Like I said, the main area I deal with is anxiety, which is fear, which fuels so many things. In fact, it fuels most things. If we have any, and if people's fears manifest in different ways, so it may be a fear of flying that's nothing to do with flying at all, or people's fears manifest in their wanting to control food, or alcohol, or fears in their relationships, whatever it may be. Fear is a massive part of what holds us back, like I said, from getting what we want. But that fear only exists in our imagination. So what happens in theta state is we can access your imagination, and that's what I do, as I work with people's imagination. So yeah, I have lots of different type of clients. I had a little girl the other day that was so cute. I like working with kids because kids are in that theta state already. They're really open, and so they're really easy to work with because they don't yet have any blocks, and their fears are really easy. They're not that deeply ingrained.
Right.
I have a mix. I see lots of men now, which is good. More men, which are being open to mental health. I see lots of clients on Skype. I have clients in America, Paris, Melbourne, all over the place.
Yeah, so kind of all over. So you do in person, and then you can also service over Skype or video.
Yeah.
Very cool. And then, so what else do you sort of specialize in? I know we talked about anxiety and fear. What are some of the other like common issues that you're sort of seeing, especially like, I guess, this year and last year?
Do you know, I think we all think we're different, but we're all just the same. We all want to feel safe, loved, protected. And I think the main issue is people need to believe in themselves and that they're good enough. The biggest insecurity people have that underlies a lot of issues is then they're not feeling good enough in some way. And they're coming from a place of fear, or they feel different to other people. I'm different in some way. And it's knowing that we're all unique, and that makes us all the same, and feeling more connected to people rather than feeling isolated and that you're on your own. Or people growing up, a lot of the issues I deal with are from when we pick up when we're kids. So before the ages of 10 to 12, before that, so between 5 and 10 and 12, we're like sponges.
Sure.
We just see the world. We get a blueprint of the world, of how we see love, how we see ourselves, how we see other people, what judgment we expect, and our relationship with money. It forms a blueprint of our lives that we just then replicate as we grow up.
Right. Now that makes so much sense. And so, touching on kind of the topic of anxiety, which is a huge one. So understanding that there are like obviously varying levels of anxiety, almost everyone in their life has dealt with it or will deal with some kind of anxiety in their life. How do you know when you need to start like taking action, or that you should go and see someone, whether that's you or a therapist, or just like seek help?
So anxiety is fear. That on a really fundamental level, it's fear. It's when we're not feeling safe. We're not feeling safe in our future. We're trying to control outcomes. I would say if it gets to a point where it's affecting your life and the decisions you make, then you kind of need to make a shift. Because if you keep making decisions and actions on fear, you're just going to attract more fear into your life.
Sure.
And fear, from a scientific level and not just a hippie level, is an emotion that energetically has a really low vibration. So you're going to attract more fearful situations and into your life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes so much sense. And then what about like from like a physical standpoint, if it like starts to impact, you know, your physical state, whether it's, you know, I don't know, headaches or I don't know, some kind of like physical reaction to anxiety.
I used to get heart palpitations.
Okay.
And stomach, like we can people hold it in different places.
Sure.
So I treat lots of people with IBS. And so I think if it's affecting you physically, yes, of course. And I think it's knowing that you can make a change. And we're not born with fear. We come into the world feeling safe, loved, protected. We learn to not feel safe. And this is just your body's response. It's adrenaline, cortisol going around your body.
Right.
You're not feeling safe. But if you learn to not feel safe, you can learn to feel safe.
Yeah, totally.
But I think it's knowing that and realizing that, because I remember, you know, I had really bad anxiety and couldn't sleep. And my dad just said, oh, well, this is just part of who you are. And I think that's a really old-fashioned way of looking at it. And I refused to accept that. I'm not going to live my life like this. And it's knowing that you can take control of your life rather than thinking that life is in control of you.
Right.
And it's just making that shift of feeling like a victim. Like whenever I use that word with clients, it's like, oh, I don't want to be a victim. And it's taking charge and taking control and knowing that you can make changes. Your mind and brain are so powerful.
Yeah.
And it's knowing that you can gain that power over your life.
Yeah. So just like knowing that it's not going to debilitate you forever. It's something that you can really work on.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of
sense.
And
if there's any habits that you don't want, you don't need to live with them or just accept them. It's not your identity.
Right. So I know we've talked a little bit about social media and Instagram. So has kind of the rise in social media had an impact on your job at all and your patients?
Well, at first, when I first started this, I didn't think I'd even use Instagram at all. I'd used to post little pretty quotes and a few pictures, but Instagram's grown over the last few years. And I really like, it's really good to keep in touch with clients and engage with people. And I like putting out positive quotes, advice to people. So yeah, it's helped me gain a bit of an audience in the fact that, you know, providing a bit of a positive motivational place for people. You know, social media can be so hard not to compare ourselves to anyone else and think everyone's living these great lives. And, you know, it can make us feel quite bad about ourselves. But I try and post lots of positivity and motivation.
Definitely. And then so with your patients, have you seen kind of comparison driving more anxiety, or have you seen it kind of have an impact on your patients directly?
Yeah, they do. And I always ask people, are you on social media? And some of them, you know, scroll repetitively, you're going through and spending hours, and it's just making them feel more and more anxious. And I say, you can't compare your life to anyone else. You're on your own path. And then I really encourage them to follow people that make them feel good about themselves and that inspire them.
Right.
Because we have a choice. You have a choice what you expose yourself to.
I know.
And if something's not making you feel good, don't follow them. And
right.
But we can get so used to feeling, oh, I'm not good enough. It becomes our normal that we seek out things that make us feel that way.
Right.
So it's noticing if you're having that need to feel that way and just stop any self-sabotaging behavior.
Right. And we are in control of what we see on our feeds. And there is this great new feature called the mute button.
Yeah.
So you can mute people's stories. You can mute people's feed posts. So, you know, maybe you don't want to unfollow them, but it's just their content is just maybe not something that you're able to see right now, depending on where you're just at.
And it's hard when you're seeing everybody being successful on social media, because a lot of my work is not on social media at all. It's hours and hours spent in with clients behind the scenes when I'm at my desk or in my office, you know, working one-on-one with people. And, you know, it's like people's lives isn't what you see on social media. And it's not the be all and end all. And I think people have, I think they're going to take away the number of likes, aren't they?
That's what they keep saying. I think they're testing it in a number of countries. And I'm very curious if it's going to trickle over to the UK. I would welcome it. I would absolutely welcome it, because it doesn't mean from a business standpoint anything. We can deliver our stats to brands and we can still continue with those business relationships. But from a comparison standpoint, we don't need to see it. I don't think we need to see it.
And I think a lot on Instagram isn't real. I know I was a bit disappointed, actually. There was a girl who I found out that she buys lots of her likes, she's in engagement group, and it's just, it's not real. So right. if we're comparing ourselves to people's lives that aren't real, and I see lots of, I've seen fitness bloggers who have eating disorders, I see coaches who have really bad anxiety and depression. It's like, you don't know what's going on behind people's lives. So I try and limit my use on social media, to be honest. Yeah. I love engaging with clients and I love posting, but I really just try not to compare myself, my life to anyone else's.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
at 34, lots of people have kids and families, and I could be looking at people saying, oh, that maybe I should be doing that. And, you know, maybe my life should be there. But it's like, your life is so different to other people's, and it's just embracing your path and your journey.
Right. That's so true. So I know when we spoke before this, you also mentioned that confidence is a really common issue with a lot of your patients. I know I can relate to this. This is something that I'm constantly working on, and I think a lot of the people in our audience as well. Do you have any like quick tips that people can implement into their daily life to boost their confidence?
Well, I think when we lose confidence in ourselves, we lose our self-belief. So I think affirmations that I'm enough. And also, like I said, stop comparing yourself to other people. And also judgment. I think judgment's huge. If we judge other people, we're expecting them to judge us. So when we stop judging other people and just let them be whoever they want to be,
right,
we can allow ourselves to just to be who we want to be. And releasing judgment's a huge one. So I think stop judging yourself so harshly, stop judging other people, mm-hmm. and just allow yourself just to be who you are and let go of that need to be perfect. We can have this idea that we need to be perfect, our lives need to be perfect, but perfect doesn't exist. Yeah. And if we were perfect, that would be boring.
It would be boring.
And nobody wants to be friends with somebody who's perfect.
Yeah.
So it's just knowing I'm not perfect and I'm okay with that, and I make mistakes and that's okay with that. And I think that's about running a business, is allowing yourself to make mistakes. There's no such thing as mistakes, only lessons.
Right.
And if we want everything to be perfect all the time, we just wouldn't make any kind of progress. So it's just putting out whatever you have, even though it may not be perfect, and embracing that, okay, it's not perfect, and just feeling okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I imagine meditation plays into that hugely, which I know you're really big into. So do you practice meditation in like your daily routine? And then what are some like very key benefits, I guess, to it?
So I do daily meditation. It's been a life changer in so many areas. But for me, when I had anxiety, the word meditation felt like something that was just so alien, that only Buddhist monks did and that hippies did, or I just couldn't do it. And whenever I sat down, my mind would be so racing, until I discovered guided meditations and listening to some music, listening to somebody guide me into that place and state, which I still find now. I try and practice normal meditation on my own, but if you're going into that theta state anyway, you're very suggestible to new ideas. So I'm very outcome solution based. So I thought, well, if I'm in that state, I may as well put in a load of positive affirmations to replace old thought patterns. So I do listen to meditations every day. And what I've been working on lately is, depending on my area of my life, what I want to work on. If it's, I want to feel more motivated, I want to feel more productive, I want to feel more confident. I've been working on abundance at the moment, and I've just received investment for my app, which is amazing, because money's just energy that can flow, and any fear that we have about money can block money coming into our lives. So I've been working on abundance and that, trusting the universe, and I really, right. I'm a massive believer in the universe and the law of attraction. So having that faith and removing any fear and just having faith and feeling safe.
Okay, cool. And so for those in the audience that are maybe like looking to start meditation, do you recommend using an app and doing a guided meditation to start?
I would say so, because it's like I said, when you're in that theta state, it's good to meditate with an end goal feeling. Because normally if we're anxious, it's because of something's happened. We're not feeling confident, or we want to feel happier, or we are worried about relationships, or worried about, like I said, money can cause a lot of anxiety. Whatever it is, it's good to meditate with a goal, I always find.
Okay.
So that's what I've done my app for. you choose your mood, so you can choose how you want to feel. And then there's meditation, there's a library of meditations in each mood. And it just takes you into a nice relaxed state where you just clear your thoughts, because our mind always likes to work, solve problems. So by not trying to control, analyze, judge, evaluate anything, you give your mind time just to rest so that you can then process new thoughts that are coming in.
Right. I love that. So on that note, can you take us through like a very short guided meditation?
Okay.
Amazing.
Do you want to start now?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So I'll do it on you. Okay, so then the perfect. Audience can do it along with you.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
So you can close your eyes, breathe in and breathe out. And I just want to say, I hope nobody's driving or operating any machinery. So I just want you to take this time for you where nobody needs you and there's nowhere you need to be. Breathing out any tension and breathing in calm and peace. Nobody needs you and there's nowhere you need to be. This is just your time. Any thoughts that come into your mind, just like clouds, I just want you to imagine them just passing on by. Remembering that there's nothing to analyze, nothing to judge, nothing to control. So breathing in calm and peace and breathing out any tension. Connecting to this inner stillness, this inner peace, this inner calm. Giving yourself permission just to be, just for this moment. Breathing in calm and peace. Breathing out any tension. And since we've talked about anxiety, I want you just to feel this safety in every cell of your body. I want you to breathe out any fear. And I want you just to breathe in this feeling of safety in every cell of your body. I want you to feel this level of ease, this level of peace. As if just for this moment, this was just your time, just to feel safe and calm. Allowing your thoughts just to drift away. Sinking further and deeper into this feeling of peace and relaxation. Any thoughts may come, try and come into your mind, but just imagine them, just batting them away. Nothing to judge, analyze, evaluate, or control. Like I said, connecting to this inner stillness, this inner safety, this inner peace, and this inner calm that nobody can take away from you now. So you can act and react from this place of safety, this place of calm, knowing that you are always in control over how you act and react, and nobody can take this feeling away from you now. Breathing in calm and peace. Breathing out any fears, doubts, worries, and cares. Breathing in calm and peace. Breathing out any tension, cares, worries, and stress. And I'm going to count up to five and you can open your eyes. One, feeling this new inner stillness, this new inner peace. Two, three, four, whenever you're ready. Five, you can open your eyes.
I feel so relaxed.
Good.
Very zen. Also, your voice is very soothing.
Thank you.
I'm like hearing the rain like right outside the window and then going through this meditation. That was really lovely.
Yeah, good. I don't know how long it was. A minute, 2 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. Like a minute and a half.
Okay, good.
It's helpful to just get like a sample of what your meditations and your sessions are kind of like as well.
Yeah.
And I can see how it's very beneficial to do at the beginning of the day, I imagine. Would you recommend?
So I have there's on the app, there's a 10-minute mind reset to clear any thoughts. There's a morning happy meditation, which is quite nice, where you just focus on feeling happy throughout the day and seeking joy, because that's what we all really want to do. We all want to seek joy. There's a motivation for the beginning of the day. Yeah, it's good to do at the beginning of the day, just to start your day off.
Okay, cool. So to kind of wrap things up, I know you mentioned your app. So do you want to kind of tell us about what's kind of to come for you?
Yeah, well, we've got the app launching, which should be in the next week. Hopefully when this launches, it will be out in the App Store and on Android. It's called Mind Detox, because we detox our minds.
I love the name. That's great. Okay.
Yeah. And I think I'm just going to be focusing on that. maybe I do. I ran a retreat a few months ago. I think I'm going to be doing another retreat where I work with people over a few days, which was such a good experience for me and so fun seeing people evolve over a few days. But yeah, I think just working with the app, trying to get this out there, and yeah, more things, I guess.
Exciting. Okay, well, we're going to look out for that. And good luck with the app launch.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming on. I learned so much from you just chatting. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Before you go, where can everybody keep up with you, find you and your services and all that jazz?
So they can find me on Instagram. It's quite a good way of keeping in touch. At Fiona Lam, or fionalam.com. And we're going to start the Instagram for the app, which is Mind Detox app. But yeah, if anybody has any questions, anyone wants to get in touch, feel free to do so. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you again so much.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Of course. Thank you guys for listening. Please, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed this episode. And we will catch you next time. Bye.